Good morning.
Good morning,
and a warm welcome to you all, and a special welcome this morning to Rolf and Shirley Billis, who are with us to worship. We're always pleased to see any... In fact, we've had an invasion of Billises this last few weeks because we had Anna, and then we had Rachel, and now we've got the mafia out. They're here. So, right. The church is looking festive, and... for that, we thank Marilyn and her team of flower arrangers who came yesterday and got the church looking good for us today. So thank you to them. The home groups begin this week. If you would like to be part of this, please add your name to one of the lists on the table, and it's in behind Joe and Harry there at the back. The lists are today. And hopefully there will be a date and time to suit everybody. The first one is on Tuesday at June's. There's a soup lunch today after the service. All are welcome to enjoy this in the large hall. And thanks to Mandy and her team from the fellowship group for all the organisation of that. Thanks to all who have filled and donated shoeboxes. There's an amazing amount of them there. This is the last day to bring your shoeboxes, and they will be heading for Eastern Europe quite soon. I believe that Joe has become a great grandfather. So well done, Joe. Right, the choir will now sing the introit.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
A wonderful morning and beautiful in the church, apart from the bit of cold outside. But yes, that's also needed for the future to carry on. Let's continue our worship, and I'll lead us in prayer. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, things great have small beginnings. Every downpour is just a raindrop. Every fire is just a spark, and every harvest is just a seed, every journey just a step, because without that step there will be no journey, and without that raindrop there can be no shower, and without that seed there can be no harvest. In the beginning there was nothing, and out of nothing you, Lord, fashioned a universe so vast, so unimaginable, that we can only sigh with amazement when we stare upwards on a starlit night. And within this universe, you positioned the earth and populated it, provided for it and designed for it to be a place of beauty. Therefore, we thank you as Creator God for doing this. In the beginning, there was just potential, the seed within the packet. Soils, nutrients, sunshine, warmth, rain, and clouds gathering. And within the tiny seed, all that is our daily bread encoded, primed and ready, should it be planted and allowed to grow. Creator God, thank you for this. We know you are the Lord of harvest, gardener supreme. You place us at the center, and therefore we ask you, feed us, equip us, and having provided for us, look to a different harvest, a fruitfulness of lives in service to you and to others. God of harvest, feed us, prune us, harvest us, that our lives might bring glory to you. Amen. I greet you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Mercy and peace be unto you in abundance. And when the Lord greets us, let's greet him back with our first praise hymn, Come You Thankful People, Come. Let us pray. God of light and God of night, creator of seed and mountain, raindrop and fountain, we bring our offering of praise, God of right and God of might, lover of child and childless, rich and homeless, we bring our offering of praise. Almighty and gracious Father, We give thanks for the fruits of the earth in their season, and for the labors of those who harvest them. And therefore we think of every farmer in our region, in this country, which you've provided for during their harvest season. We think of people on production lines carrying out their work. People bringing food to stores. Even people behind cash registers helping and serving us, so that we may literally have our daily bread. Lord, no human is in charge of this. It's you, and therefore all glory be unto you. Thank you for your provision of sun and rain and everything that's needed. And thank you for bringing us everything in abundance, whether it be the physical food on our tables or the bread of life to our souls and hearts and thoughts. And therefore we ask you, we pray, faithful stewards, to be that in the crops you send us in life, that you will relieve need where it's needed throughout the world, Lord, and that people would discover that you are the giver of life. We pray this in your name, Jesus, through the work of your Holy Spirit in and around us. One God, now and forevermore. Amen. CH 4230, praise God for the harvest. And then we remain standing after the hymn and we confess our faith in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Let's remain standing and we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
The first reading this morning is from Luke chapter 1 and can be found at page 1025 in the Pew Bibles. Reading from verse 1 to verse 4. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. The second reading is also from Luke, this time chapter 5, reading from verse 1 to verse 11. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowded round him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonged to Simon, and asked them to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets started to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Thanks be to God for these readings from his holy word. Amen.
Let us sing, "We Plough the Fields and Scatter." And Evelyn and I decided that it is harvest service, so we'll sing the wonderful harvest hymns, bringing praises to the Lord. What a wonderful prayer in that hymn. And I was thinking back home when we would have youth camps, we would only sing the refrain. Exactly the same. Ons dank u Heer, ons dank u Heer, vir al die goedheid meer. All good gifts come from the Lord, the same. So, yes, a wonderful prayer and really bring thanks to God. As Meg announced in the intimations, most of us are currently reading the little booklet called The Story, which is based on the Gospel of Luke and the Book of Acts. Now, those of you that want to participate, you don't need to come to a home group, but you can still, if you don't have a booklet, ask. Oh, there are a few left in front. All right. So at the back of the booklet, there's a reading plan for each week, and then the sermons for the following weeks, I would base on some of the passages we would have read. And I see it's 11:30, Isabel, so some tatties will be through the breed today if I only start preaching now. yes. Luke, as most of we know, and according to Colossians 4, verse 14, was a medical doctor. And we easily forget that medical professions and the medical profession of being a doctor has been around for a very long time. Consider a few of the New Testament texts. Jesus himself tells us, "They that are whole have no need for a physician or a doctor." And it shows that apparently in the area of Galilee, physicians were present. And in Nazareth, Jesus quote the proverb, "Physician, heal yourself," in Luke chapter 4. And the gospel mentions physicians in Galilee all around. And we hear of some physicians receiving money after treating a lady with an issue of blood. They accepted payments, apparently, without many results. The Jewish writings of the period also mention physicians, and one writer notes as follows, "There is a time when in their hands, their very hands, is the issue for good." So that is on the positive side. And then another Jewish writer wrote, "He that sins before his maker, let him fall into the hands of a physician." Apparently, to fall in the hands of a physician was not that good. Sorry, Grant, with all respect to your profession, I think you do a very good job today. Dr. Luke's account of Jesus' life has special interest for us. Luke was converted, and he was not amongst the eyewitnesses or the disciples that we know today. He did not have a Damascus path experience like Paul, but came to faith, I believe, in the same way that we did, or we do today, believing that Jesus Christ is the Savior, and then spreading the gospel. Luke also, as being a doctor, take careful careful care and with a very observant eye, look at what Jesus did in his ministry, in his earthly being, and then reflects on that, and he writes his gospel. And through the eyes of this doctor, I think it's a very specific way that he writes as a Gentile to Gentiles, as we would be in those days, and giving us a in-depth perspective of what and who Jesus was, and how to see and orientate ourselves as being Christians. Now today's passage is nothing different. Dr. Luke wants to help us in a specific way to see what Jesus did in terms of Peter and the crowds. As I said, Luke is written by a Gentile to Gentiles, and since the vast majority of listeners were also Gentiles, it would be a good perspective. Now the first thing which I see in Luke chapter 5, in this passage, is Jesus, and Luke helps me to see this. Jesus was ministering to both crowds and to individuals. That's the first thing I would say. Jesus was teaching along the shores of Lake Gennesaret, or also called the Sea of Galilee, and they were apparently, as we heard in chapter 5, a crowd of people following Jesus, obviously wanted to see the miracles, wanted to hear his teachings, and then Jesus sees two boats, two fishermen boats, along the shore. And then he picks one of them, and one of the boats belonged to Simon Peter, which I would obviously just refer to Peter later on. And Jesus picks one of these boats to get onto it and back off a little bit onto the water so that he could continue his teaching to the people sitting on the banks of the Sea of Galilee. Now, this would be maybe practical in the one sense that Jesus just wanted distance, because if one is surrounded by a lot of people around you, you struggle to speak to everyone, and it's just a difficult situation. But the moment when you back off and you can see someone from the front, teaching is better and more practical. I also wonder if I would survive if a crowd would press against me all the time. Would I be able to do a good sermon or good teaching? All right, Alistair? Okay. And the second reason I did mention earlier the year would be to reflect your voice bouncing from the water, and some places on the shoreline of Galilee would be in the form or a space like an amphitheater, which would be a good place to address an audience. Now, the second reason I think Jesus chose the boat was a specific reason. He chose the boat of Simon Peter. And I'm shortening the sermon, very shortening the sermon today. And if I think practically of this, Jesus was actually teaching to the crowds. That was his focus. But the second thing I think is that Jesus wanted to be with Peter, the individual. And if we go back to the Bible reading, if we read in verse 4, what was happening is, While Jesus was teaching to the crowds, Peter and his fellow disciples were actually busy doing something else, and they were washing their nets. Not attentive that much of what Jesus was saying at that moment. And it helps me to see something going on here, because I think Peter would respect Jesus as a great spiritual rabbi, and earlier the year I told you that Peter had an encounter with Jesus previously, so he knew who Jesus was. But he's not attentive like the rest of the crowd towards what Jesus is teaching. He is busy with his work, washing his nets. And then I think very strategically, Jesus knows, I need to get to Peter because this man is going to be a great apostle one day. But before he comes an apostle, which would change the world through the gospel and the good news, he first needs to be my disciple to learn about me. And then Jesus tells, and you can say it's an odd thing, 50-50. And then Jesus asks him, well, could I use this boat, this one boat? And he picks the boat of Simon Peter. And those days, we know they went out with two boats helping each other. So what happened? Jesus took Peter away from his work, from his focus that he was busy, got him into a boat and got out. And then Jesus was teaching the crowds, and all of a sudden we hear he's done with the crowds. It's not that specific in our text, but he's done with the crowds, and then he focuses on Peter. And he asks Peter his undivided attention. Because you see, I wonder, I'm catching out myself sometimes in life. We say that we will be Jesus' disciples. We say that we will follow him, and we say we will listen to him. And then I get busy with work or things. And you could feel the same. You don't need to feel the same. And Peter would be thinking, oh dear, I could have done my job, but I'm set back by this rabbi, but with respect, I'll do what he asked me to do. And then Jesus speaks to Peter himself. And it's a wonderful thing happening there. And this is the second thing Luke, Dr. Luke, helps me to see is he then asks Peter to throw in the nets on the deep end or the deep side. And I think to myself, all right, Ati, maybe you're pulling things out too much or too far, but it has a good meaning to me. If Peter would throw his nets in the shallow water, that would provide some smaller fish to him. It's fine. I'll give Freddie the mic. Thanks. If Peter would throw out his nets in the shallow water, he would catch small fish. That's fine, and that would be okay. But that won't be sustainable for their industry or their business. And Jesus tells him, throw in your nets in the deep end. And I would think, I could actually hear the patronizing tone in Peter's voice. All right, Master, if you say so, I will throw the nets in on the deep end. It's as if Peter would say, well, who are you to tell me how to fish? But he obeys. And then what happens? He catches this big fish or this big load of fish. And I think to myself, so the moment when Peter was listening to Jesus, doing what Jesus told him to do, the harvest became bigger in his life. Unexpectedly, but a bigger fishing of nets came about. And he had to call his friends. You can just switch it off. That's okay. And I ask myself, all right, is this not what Jesus also asked of me? To really not always keep busy with my own plans and my own work, but to listen to what he's actually asking me to do, obeying, giving me his full attention, or my full attention, and then really following his instructions. Because only when Peter obeyed Jesus, things happened in his life. And I come back to my own life and that of yours. I ask myself, we are celebrating harvest this morning. And the Lord provided a lot of people with different ways and different manners. We prayed for our farmers. But what about the harvest of our hearts and our thoughts and our being? Because if I have a look at the life of Peter, he was really a great man, spreading the gospel, changing the lives of other people. And within this story, I hear that God is really interested in the masses of people, but he's interested in you and in me as an individual. And Jesus takes time. He takes time to spend and to guide me. And today we can praise him for his Holy Spirit guiding us. And I want to challenge you this week. Go back to your home, read the passage again, and ask God that he might challenge you in more obedience, if possible. And it's not a sinner sermon this morning, please. But really to ask God to guide you and to give you undivided attention to his calling. Amen. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that we can relate to what Dr. Luke wrote down and inspired us to see, that you really loved people, you cared for them, but more so you cared for individuals. You found Peter where he was really busy with his work, and you still took interest in him. Thank you that you also guide us in life, sometimes being too busy with our own activities. But the moment we focus on you and give you our undivided attention, then you have the ability to change things and life. Help us not to fish only on the shallow waters and be fed from day to day, but trusting you with the deep and unknown waters of life, to show us, to guide us, and to provide us in a sustaining life. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you are Lord and King of our hearts, our thoughts, and our being. Praise be to you. Pray this in your name as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's sing our next hymn, 226, God Whose Farm Is All Creation. Let's bring our offering unto the Lord. Thank you. I think back on the sermon, and if it's a doctor, I would think he would have a diagnosis. Yes. And he'll ask us, what do you need to feel better? And then telling us, all right, the medication and the process would be, speak to God, but listen to God. And keep close to him, because that'll bring you on a path of wealth and health and goodness in life. Thank you very much.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, let us begin by praying for our church here at St. Andrew's, Lumbride and Urquhart, for each and every member of the congregation. We thank you for the talent and fellowship within our congregation, where so many are working quietly and diligently to keep the heart of our church beating strongly. The Kirk Session, the Guild, the Thrift Shop, TOFM, Young Church, and Connect. We give thanks for those who provide the things we may take for granted every Sunday, the music, the flowers, and the welcome cups of tea. Today we ask for your blessing on our Blythewood Christmas boxes as they begin their long journey to a country where so many of the children and the adults have so little. We pray that these gifts will give pleasure, hope, and comfort to them, knowing that they have not been forgotten and that people do care. We thank you for answering our prayers for guiding Atty to St. Andrew's. Despite being many thousands of miles from his homeland, we trust that he feels rewarded by the warm welcome he has received from this congregation and from the wider community in this corner of Scotland. We give thanks for the joyous and uplifting services we enjoy every Sunday, whilst not forgetting the unstinting support and guidance we received from our now retired interim moderator, Isabel, and her team during and since our years of vacancy. We hope that Isabel and Alec are now enjoying their well-held retirement, making friends in their new home and church in Arbroath. Let us now pray for the sick, the anxious, those who feel isolated, those in need, and those who suffer. We pray for those in hospital and nursing homes, those who are housebound and those who grieve. We thank you for the dedication and care of all who look after them. Comfort and heal those who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles. Help them to sense your comfort in times of need and bring them hope of an end of their suffering and a resolution of their difficulties. Let us now take a quiet moment to think of somebody close to us. We pray for all who work for peace and unity. Comfort and strengthen them. We pray they will continue to seek an end to the suffering caused by war, violence, injustice, and inequality. We pray especially for an end to the fighting in Syria, the Yemen, and for long-term peace in the Middle East. Give strength to those who are refugees and seek safety in another country, despite the dangers of the journey. Give wisdom to those in authority in every nation of the world. May they work for the good of those they rule. Give them a desire for righteousness and peace to bring an end to poverty and strife. We thank you for the work of 8 agencies such as Christian Aid, all working to bring hope to the victims of war, prejudice, and disaster. Particularly in these unsettled times, we pray for those who have to make decisions that affect our lives, local and national leaders. We pray that you will be with them when difficult decisions are being made, and that your voice will be heard. As we go from this church today to start the week ahead, we ask that you will be at our side in all that we do, safe in the knowledge that your fatherly love and care knows no bounds. Amen.
Thank you very much. I asked Grant to just inform us on our new activity, prayer mornings. Thank you, Grant.
Thank you. So on behalf of the session, an invitation to the prayer breakfast. So why are we doing this? The big question, I guess, is what makes a healthy church? And in front of us, we have the cross with the various, with the four things on it: sharing, learning, eating, and praying. And Athi talked about that a number of weeks ago. But there's three things I want to just have us ticking over as we quickly go through the sheet that I gave you. I'm not going to go through in any detail. It's for you guys to look at in your own time. But to give you a sort of insight into the thought process that went behind it. Three things. We're talking about prayer in particular. That's the invitation to the prayer breakfast. We're talking about unity. And we're talking about a degree of desperation or earnestness. Look around you. Where are we going to be in 10 years' time with this church? We're not going to be here. The future is important, and it needs prayer. It needs earnestness. What direction of travel are we doing in our mission? The church is beginning to think about mission and how it moves into the community. What are we going to do? Talking about unity, we've talked about the story, the community Bible reading. We're doing this together. There's no such thing as a lone ranger in Christianity. We all need one another. We complement each other. We learn together. We grow together. Prayer, it's a non-negotiable. It lies at our relationship with God. It's also at the heart of what we do as a community. Prayer can be a solitary endeavor, and that's encouraged. A conversation between God and yourself is also encouraged in the church when we come here. We have it on Sunday mornings, the intercessory prayer. Fantastic. People love the intercessory prayer. It's growing. We might say grace before a meal. We have the church prayer meeting. And this is the thing about unity. How many people turn up to the church prayer meeting? 12 maximum. How many of us are here? Let's do the maths. 12 out of 80, 12 out of 90. That's only 15%. If prayer is important, that's not unity. We need to try and get something where we can all feel comfortable. The Lord's Prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. It's community, our Father. Lead us not into temptation. Forgive us as we forgive others. Us, us, us. Moving into the story which we're going to be reading. It's not quite a spoiler alert. But when you get to page 72, Acts 12, look what happens when Peter's arrested. The church gets together and prays earnestly, desperation. We're on our knees. We're wanting God to move. I'm not going to spoil it, but read the story. The next three slides, or three pictures, are various models of prayer in the church. The last one is the one that I encourage you that we should be trying to model. Ideas for prayer. It's just on the back of an envelope. I rattle these things down. There is more to be prayed for. We need to learn together, grow together, bring our request to God together. And out of that comes unity, comes direction of travel. Where are we going as a church? We need to get on our knees together. Prayer is difficult. Group prayer is even harder. We're all different personalities. Sitting down with our eyes shut might suit some people in a room. It doesn't suit all of us. But the dangerous idea that I want us to go away with is we learn together, we pray together, and we grow together. Unity, church unity. So the invitation is next Sunday. Come together for the prayer breakfast starting at 9:30. There will be a breakfast, and then there'll be various things going on. It's going to be non-threatening, but yes, I can't guarantee you'll be in your comfort zone. I won't be in mine. Similar to something we did in the manse, I don't know, about a year or 2 years ago in the Church of Scotland pray on a Sunday, we had people going around various rooms in the manse, and there was things to help us consider various aspects of church life. That'll be happening, but there is no pressure. So the invitation is, come next Sunday morning. A congregation without a prayer meeting is essentially defective in its organisation, and so must be limited in its efficiency. Look where we're going. If we're not praying, we may as well go home. So SALU needs you at the prayer meeting, but it also needs feedback. Learn together, grow together, come together. How we do prayer as a community, as a corporate body, we need to learn. I don't have the answer. We'll start off by doing something next week, but then see what happens. See you next Sunday. There is a Church of Scotland initiative, Pray It Forward. These are prayer cards. The session, I've run with the idea, and it's, if you like the idea, take the cards and give it, oh, sorry. Session have taken the card. This is a Church of Scotland initiative, Pray It Forward. And it may help us in our meeting with people who perhaps don't come to church, feel that the moment is right, give them the card. There's a prayer on it. It's non-threatening. Well, I don't think it's threatening. There's plenty more. See what you make of them. Take them away. Give it a go this week. See what happens. Look forward to feedback. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Grant. Yes. Our closing hymn is also a prayer and a praise. It's so wonderful, especially the first two verses, when we say, I ponder on your great works, O Lord. Second verse about, the nature. And then when the refrain comes, it's just an outburst of joy towards the Lord in really being our Savior. Let's sing this hymn as prayer and as praise to God.
Oh,
The Lord will bless you and he will be ahead of you to make your pathways right ahead. He will be behind you to shelter you from the onslaughts of evil, be beside you to enfold you in his loving arms, be under you to pick you up the day when you might stumble or fall, be above you to bless you, and dwell within you with his Holy Spirit that you may live from his grace and his love. Amen.